You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. Everybody's working for the weekend, including the sports books, because we got a ton of action going on. We're going to be breaking it down. Steve Merrill steps up and in as he does every Friday. ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. We're going to run the gauntlet with Steve. Little college football talk and a couple of NFL games as well. Patrick Mayo joins us in studio, the PME, with a super lock of the week. He got back in a winner's circle last week. We'll see if he keeps it rolling this week. Mayo joins us in studio as well. And, oh, yeah, we might have a famous baseball player or something like that. But we'll see. But big weekend of football coming up. Now, we told you earlier in the week Curt Schilling was going to join us. We told you that twice. The first time, he called too late. Second time, he called way later, actually, as Kurt's had a knack. I don't know. I always thought Curt Schilling was a starter and not a closer. The dude's stepping up and in like the ninth and tenth innings all the time here on the show. But we've got his home number now. So Schilling's in the bullpen right now. You know, like as of about 25 minutes ago, he's like, put me in, coach. No screwing around. I'm ready to go today. If not, then everything changes. Then, you know, everything changes. But listen, it's championship weekend, college of football. I thought the MAC championship game would be a little bit earlier in the day than 7 o'clock to get the party started. But nevertheless, we've got the MAC championship game. We've got the Pac-12 championship game. But if you're the MAC, why not start a little bit earlier so you don't cross over and go head-to-head with Washington and Colorado? Because as good as the Western Michigan story is, let's be real. The Pac-12 championship game is where the national championship implications lie this evening. So, as I stated, we got Steve Merrill, we got Pat Mayo, and we could have Curt Schilling. I think we will have Curt Schilling on the program, but before we get to all that, it's time for our bold predictions of the week. Week 13 of the National Football League kicked off. The Minnesota Vikings got screwed over late in this football game against the Dallas Cowboys. But what a shock, right, that the referees screwed somebody. But we'll get to that. Let's start off with a couple of bold predictions. Let's start off with bold prediction number one. And this has Who Ruined Your Sunday written all over it. But We're gonna say it's like a factory in here. It's like construction and jackhammers going. I'm like, is the ceiling about to crash? But we're gonna say that the Cincinnati Bengals are gonna become the first pro football team, you know, from the state of Ohio to win a game since October the 23rd. That is besides Ohio State. I think Ohio State pays their players more than the Browns do. They play better than the Browns do. I think they pay them more than they do. But think about it. The Browns haven't won. The Bengals haven't won since October the 23rd, man. That's a long time ago. We're into December now. They haven't won since October the 23rd. They're going to win. They're going to beat the visiting Philadelphia Eagles. All right. Let's get a little bit bolder right now. Everybody loves the New Orleans Saints this week for some reason. Yeah, they racked up a ton of points against the Rams last week. That's all good. Who's a better football team, the New Orleans Saints or the Detroit Lions? I think the Lions are a better football team. Yet the odds makers are saying, no, they're not. They're nearly, the Saints are nearly a touchdown favorite in this football game. Detroit's going to go in there, and they're going to do what they've done every week. They're going to come back. And they're going to come back, they're going to erase a fourth quarter deficit, and Matthew Stafford's going to throw a late touchdown pass to Anquan Boldin, and the Detroit Lions are going to win their eighth football game of the season. They're going to become one step closer to nailing down the NFC North Division title. All right, I don't know how bold this is, but what a freaking debacle once again. So my bold prediction is that the referees will screw up again. You know, you're costing people jobs, you jackasses. And I think it's time that we stop with some insurance salesman and a lawyer by day, an NFL referee by night. The National Football League, you guys have billions of freaking dollars, man. And you got a bunch of 72-year-old men running around out there trying to keep up with dudes that are running 4.3 40s. It's not happening. You know, is the game fixed? I don't know. You know, I can tell you that last week the Dallas Cowboys got every freaking call against the Washington Redskins. I can tell you that we can go down the list, and I had the Cowboys. We can go down the list. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, that was a fumble. He never got the ball back. They didn't call any whistle. That was crap. Sam Bradford gets hit in the face. Pass interference in the end zone. It doesn't matter. It looks like it's going to be Dallas's year. Don't get in front of that. But the Detroit Lions are going to beat the Saints. I don't know how bold this is, but Brock Osweiler, a.k.a. El Terriblo, he'll be El Terriblo again. The Green Bay Packers, don't look now, but the Packers are going to put together a two-game win streak. Now, I'm not saying it's bold that the Packers are going to win this football game as six-point favorites, but what is pretty bold, as bad as the Packers have been, you know, you look back in past years, you know, you got to get hot at the right time. And if the Packers are able to get hot at the right time, as in right now, and their defense can come together a little bit, we know their offense is clicking, the Packers will be a dangerous football team down the stretch. But they got to start winning football games now, and they do beat the Houston Texans. All right, this is a little bit bolder, the Buffalo Bills. I like this better if Ronald Darby was going to be playing. Buffalo Bill, DB, he's not. It is what it is. Both teams are pretty banged up. The Bills are really banged up. But you know what? The Bills also bang you up. The Bills have the best rushing attack in the National Football League. The Oakland Raiders aren't great at stopping the run, all right? I think the Buffalo Bills are going to run the ball down the Raiders' throats. They're going to circle the wagons, and the Raiders are going to get caught looking ahead to the big Thursday night tilt at Arrowhead against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Buffalo Bills keep their fate playoff hopes alive, and they beat the Silver and Black in California. And finally, we wrap it up with a big-time football game between Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks, multiple Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks. A lot of rings, man, on the field there. Eli Manning and Big Ben Roethlisberger, what am I missing here? Yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a great fantasy team. They're not a great real team. The New York Giants are on a six-game win streak right now. I'm getting a team on a six-game win streak with an offense that's going to be able to trade points with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh are good, but they're not good enough to be laying the six. Give me the points, and I wouldn't be shocked if the New York Giants win this game outright. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, Pat Mayo is going to join us in studio in a couple of minutes. Kurt Schilling, I think Kurt Schilling is going to join us this time. Normally, we don't even give people three chances in 1 week, but Kurt Schilling, he's Kurt Schilling, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. So without further ado, let's just bring in Steve Merrill so we can get to as many games as possible. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, what's going on? You got Schilling, huh?
Yeah, we got Schilling. We got renovations going on because I got to tell you, Steve, I can't think of any better time to do renovations in the building than the exact same time that we're doing live TV. I can't think of any better time. Not to mention, it's like our Christmas party today, and I think half the building already started partying. Like, I'm about to snap here, Steve, I got to tell you.
December 2nd. I mean, I know you guys do Thanksgiving a lot earlier in Canada, but I thought Christmas was the same day for all of us.
Half the people in this building are just alcoholics, and it's a reason for them to drink.
Right. It's they have a Christmas party in July also, right?
All right.
On Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you know, well, yeah, you're right. It is a little early out of the gate, but...
No, but you got to compete with all the other Christmases. It's not a bad move, actually, because you got so many holiday parties coming up, it's hard to squeeze them all
yeah,
in.
Yeah, all that office crap. You got to book space and all that stuff, Steve, right?
Well, so all your guys have second and third jobs anyway, so they got a lot of parties to go to.
Wow.
This isn't a real job for anybody.
That's pretty cold. That's pretty cold. All right. All right, Steve. So, yeah, let's get to the games here. MAC Championship.
Yeah.
MAC Championship. I just said off the top, Steve. Why the hell these guys play on Tuesday night all the time, a Wednesday night.
I know.
Why are they starting at 7 o'clock? Like, come on, man. Like, to me, this is the type of game. It's championship weekend. You start this game even at 6 o'clock because you got the West Coast game at, what, 9 o'clock?
Yeah, 2 hours later.
So why do you want to have the run-in, Steve? Why wouldn't you want to start it a little bit earlier today?
Why not just play it on Thursday night? There wasn't a single college football game last night. You'd have somewhat of the spotlight. I mean, you'd be going against the NFL, I guess, but they're not afraid to do that. Yeah, most of these teams play on Tuesday, but what's interesting, though, is that Western Michigan, of course, played last week. We talked about the game here on the air. They played last Friday against Toledo. Meanwhile, Ohio played that Tuesday game earlier in the week, so they've got a little extra time for this one. You also have to worry about Western Michigan just as a big favorite here, because last week, as we talked about here on the show last Friday, that was their biggest game against Toledo as just a 7-point home favorite. They won by 20. So maybe a little bit of a letdown here, even though it's the title game. It's hard to imagine that could be the case, but big number here against Ohio team that's a decent defensive squad, but has no offense. They won a 9-3 game against Akron last week. And if they get behind, they're going to have a tough time playing from behind. They don't have a lot of backdoor cover potential. So I think Ohio and the under is somewhat correlated here. Otherwise, this game probably gets away from them.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm thinking Western Michigan and the over. And I got to tell you, Steve.
Right. Well, it's correlated as well. I would agree with
that. Yeah. I bet. And, you know, it's indoors. I bet against Western Michigan a couple of times and paid the price, including last week in the Toledo game. But I bet on a lot of Ohio Bobcat football, and I have over the years. I know this program pretty well, and I know it's tempting with the 17, and you can make that argument. You're right, Steve. The pressure on Western Michigan, the fact is right now, you know, they're 12-0. They win the football game. They're going to the Cotton Bowl. So I don't really think style points really matter for them at this point in time. They're just trying to nail down the MAC championship game. But with that being stated, there was a lot of pressure last week, and they drilled Toledo. There was a lot of pressure the week before when College Game Day was there, and they got it done. It seems like they're knocking it down, man. You know, they're knocking the pins down as they appear. And like you said, if this game gets away from Ohio, I just don't know if they can catch up. And I'm not so sure Western Michigan's going to look at this like, oh, we're up 21-3. Let's just run the ball and kill the clock. I think they will try to put a show on and try to climb as high as they can in the rankings.
Yeah, and it's not like they got to save any energy because they'll be off for the next month. So this is kind of the finale game for the time being. And I don't like to take big underdogs that I think can't win the game. And I don't see Ohio winning this game. So then it becomes a question, can they hang within the number? And as I mentioned, a bad offensive team, that worries you when they get behind. They can't catch up. And Western Michigan's weakness this year, I think, is their defense. Numbers-wise, they don't give up a lot of points. But yardage-wise, they're very mediocre against their opponents played. But there again, I don't think Ohio can take advantage. We saw a similar matchup on Monday night with the Packers and Eagles. I ended up on Green Bay in that game for my clients. And, you know, one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and the Eagles still couldn't take advantage. I just don't think bad offenses can take advantage of mediocre defenses.
And, you know, you look at Western Michigan score 44.8 a game. They're probably going to get into that territory. I know that Ohio only give up 21 a game, but let's say Western Michigan gets into the 40s. They give up 19 points a game. Can Ohio get to 21? And even if they did, that's not even covering the number. 17, 21 would be different than 17 here. We should note the Bobcats are 110-1 to the under this year, Steve. And I want to bring up, since we're on the Fantasy Sports Network, I'm going to call the shot. I told you guys, I've been bang on about a ton of rookies. I told you guys, keep your eye on this Stephon Diggs kid out of Maryland at the time. But right now, Steve, this kid, Corey Davis, is the all-time leading FBS wide receiver in yards right now. And he really does remind me of Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown came from the MAC, a late-round draft pick, coming from Central Michigan. This kid, you know, wears the same number. He's 84. He looks up to Antonio Brown. He plays at Western Michigan. They look the freaking same, man. I'm not saying he's going to be a star like Antonio Brown, but this kid's been flying under the radar, man. A hell of a wide receiver, and the Zach Terrell quarterback's on fire, too.
Yeah, look who throws to Antonio Brown. Roethlisberger, another MAC product from Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
Edelman was a quarterback at Kent, of course, and he's a great receiver as well in the NFL now. The MAC has put out some talent, even though you don't feel like it's a real strong college conference overall in football. They've put out some talent. That's why I think Western Michigan can compete. If they go undefeated, as they probably will, I think they can compete in one of those major bowls this year, a lot like Boise State did, you know, a decade ago.
Yeah, they're very similar to that, to those Boise teams. All right, Steve, so let's talk about the big one here tonight. Washington and Colorado, we got some line movement. It's up to 8.5 right now. How much of a difference is 7.5 and 8.5?
Not much. Games could land on 8, but obviously 7 is the real key number. So from 7.5 to 8.5, not a huge difference. And 9 is definitely a dead number. So unless it hits 10, Line probably won't be much of an issue here. I'd be surprised if we get a plus 10 by kickoff tonight. What's interesting about these two teams, they both have been fantastic this season. Washington 11-1, Colorado 10-2. But the Huskies are actually just 6-6 against the number. They've been favored in every game this season. In fact, this is only the third time all year, Gabe, that they've been favored by less than 10 points. It's only the third time they've been a single-digit favorite all season. However, Colorado's been a money machine, 10-2 against the number, just 2-2 against the number their last four games. The oddsmakers finally caught up. But keep in mind, they've been favored in each of those last four games. This is the first time in over a month and a half they've been an underdog. And I think they're a live dog in this one. I don't know if they'll necessarily win the game outright, but I think they're capable and a good defensive dog. They hung with Michigan on the road earlier this year back in September, as you know. Lost their quarterback in that game. He threw three touchdowns. The backup went 0-7. That actually made a big difference in that game. That final score would have probably been a lot closer than the 17-point margin. So Colorado can play. They've been flying under the radar all season. And, you know, Washington is one of those teams that might be left out even if they win this game. It's funny how things always seem to work out, though. I wouldn't be shocked to see Colorado pull the upset here and make things a little bit easier for the committee.
Really, Steve? I was hoping that you were going to say you think Washington rolls, because this is another one where
they could. They could.
It's going against my nature. We got a 10-2 football team getting points. Normally, I'd be all over this. But one thing that, to be fair, like you said, the Huskies are 6-6 ATS. They were laying monster numbers a lot, right?
Right.
They were laying monster numbers. You know, they score 44.8 a game. They scored 41 or more eight times this year, Steve. They have an explosive offense. I just wonder if Colorado's going to be able to keep up with them. And so it was a hell of a run for Colorado. You mentioned Boise State earlier. Well, who's the coach of the Washington Huskies right now? Chris Peterson. Who, you know, he's won big games at Boise State before. Now he's got better talent, and they got some great talent, man, with Gaskin at the running back position, with Ross at the wide receiver position, and Browning. They got some talent, this team.
This is another one of those games where I think the underdog and the under are somewhat correlated. You know, like you said, Colorado's going to have a tough time trading points. They're actually a very mediocre offensive team. What's gotten Colorado by this year is a strong defense. So once again, I think the dog and the under somewhat correlated if you're looking to parlay the game.
We got a guaranteed winner, Steve, because I like the over in this game.
I don't disagree. If you're leaning Washington, I don't disagree with the over, just like that Western Michigan game, because I think they are somewhat correlated. Washington wants points. Colorado's going to have to grind it out and make it ugly.
You know, we were talking about the stadium, Steve. They're playing, so yeah, for the record, the MAC championship game's in Detroit at Ford Field, so Western Michigan and Ohio. Washington, Colorado, they're playing at the home of the 49ers. It's so far from San Francisco. I was looking at the weather, Steve. There's a 7-degree difference in weather. That's how far away.
Yeah, I think it's like an hour. It's almost an hour away.
Yeah, there's a 7-degree difference in weather. Because I was like, oh, San Francisco weather. I'm like thinking, you know, Santa Clara is not really San Francisco. So I did the difference. But it's, you know, the weather's going to be nice tonight, but it's going to be about 15 mile an hour winds tonight, Steve, in this football game. But I'm thinking both these teams have played in some pretty bad weather this year anyways. You know, we've seen Washington's offense be very efficient in rain and wind already.
Yeah, I don't think the weather would be too much of a factor. And, yeah, I mean, other than San Francisco, nowhere else in California has weather like San Francisco. Even Oakland, who's basically the same city. People forget that this is no longer in Candlestick. You know, it's a good distance away, and the weather and the wind aren't as much of a factor.
All right, we'll see if we agree on this one. Clemson and Virginia Tech. Clemson are a win away from the playoffs. Another team who's 11-1, but only 6-6 against the spread. They had a lot of close shaves. It finally caught up to them in that Pitt game. We got Vautech 9-3 straight up, also 6-6 against the spread. But, Steve, I'm looking at the numbers here. Clemson score 40 a game exact. They give up 17.0 points exact. Vautech score 35. They give up 21. Let's look at the yards. Clemson put up 509 yards a game. Virginia Tech put up 453 yards a game. Clemson give up 322 yards a game. Virginia Tech give up 307 yards a game. Clemson's got a great quarterback in Deshaun Watson. Well, I'll tell you what, Gerard Evans has been pretty damn good. He's been bad. But, you know, you got Coach Fuente coming in here getting the points. I think we got a live dog here.
I agree. We're in agreement on this one. I think Virginia Tech is a live dog, and I like the fact that this line is now up to the key number of plus 10. The money's actually coming in Clemson this week. It's pushed it up from a single-digit line now to double digits. So I do lean Virginia Tech now at plus 10 or more. I said from the beginning of the season that Fuentes would turn this program around. Not that they were a bad program, but they were, you know, a mediocre program. They weren't a national title contender. Then the next 5 years, I think Virginia Tech will be a national title contender. He did an amazing job at Memphis. And he's known as an offensive coach, but keep in mind, Bud Foster, the defensive legend, stayed at Virginia Tech this year, and they've been a very good defensive team still. Kind of cakewalked through the last month of the season. You know, they really had this division locked up for several weeks, only needed one more win. Didn't get it against Georgia Tech, which was ugly a few weeks ago, but they blew out Virginia last week, and I think they have some momentum coming into this game now and have enough to trade points and keep it within that single-digit margin. I think Clemson probably wins it. An upset, though, would not shock me. I think either Colorado or Virginia Tech could pull an upset here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, as a Michigan fan, I'm hoping for chaos. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but when we talk on Monday, the playoffs, the bracket will be set, and I'm sure we'll have some numbers to break down as well. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts with us. We take a quick break, and we'll see who's behind the curtain coming up next. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. Continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right. Earlier in the week, we promised that we were going to have Kurt Schilling on the program. And even though he wasn't with us, we told you, chill out. Don't worry. He'll join us later in the week. And fortunately, he has joined us. So we are now joined by one of the best big game pitchers in the history of Major League Baseball, a three-time World Series champion. Now a polarizing and controversial figure at times, hosting a daily show over at Breitbart.com, Whatever It Takes, the host of Whatever It Takes, Kurt Schilling, joins us on the Fantasy Sports Network. Kurt, welcome to the Fantasy Sports Network, man. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks. And listen, the no-show early in the week was totally my fault both times. I apologize for that.
No apologies needed. I know you're getting used to the daily radio grind, and I've been doing this a long time. And, you know, you played ball for a long time, and that's a daily grind. How would you compare the two, waking up in the morning thinking, man, I got a show to do? Like, how do you compare the two?
Well, first of all, I still have never worked a day in my life. I mean, I everything I've been able to do, I've loved, and this is no different. I'm deeply passionate about social issues. I'm obviously deeply passionate about politics. I don't have a problem sharing my opinion. I often talk too much, so it's a great outlet.
Now, as far as, you know, and for the record, I'm not right. I'm not left. I don't really like any politicians, for the record. I like Jesse Ventura. A more of a libertarian type, but I thought Gary Johnson was kind of a tool, right? So, what are you going to do about that? But without being stated, and I want to just pretext this by stating, I don't agree with everything that's on Breitbart.com, but I do think it's ridiculous to hear people in the media talk about it being a hate site and this alt-right crap. If that's a hate site, then so is the Huffington Post. Then so is the Daily Beast. It's a website.
I challenge anybody that wants to call it a hate site to question any of the facts put on the site. It's a group of people, and I now count myself as part of that group that is dedicated to throwing putting the truth out there. There's going to be stuff I don't like. If I don't agree with some of the stuff the administration does, I'll be first in line to say so. But the mainstream media killed itself in this last election down here, and I think Breitbart has been taking advantage of that, and a lot of the commentary around it has been exposing and revealing news that the mainstream media wants to and chooses to ignore. So, you know, I love it. And you don't have to be one way or the other. I'm a very liberal person, and I'm fiscally conservative. I just don't believe the federal government belongs in the church, in the bedroom, or in the bathroom. And so, you know, I don't have a problem voicing that opinion.
I think that's the arrogance of why they actually lost, though, from the deplorable line to, oh, you're racist, you hate everybody, you're a xenophobe, etc. And there's a lot of just honest, hardworking people that, you know, didn't like the status quo. They're not racist. Not everybody's racist that didn't vote for Hillary Clinton.
You know, if you take away Western California and the legal vote, Donald Trump wins by about 8 million votes, probably. But at the end of the day, I think we got sick and tired of being called some things we weren't, which was racist, which was xenophobic, and all the other stuff that they said. But I'll tell you, the one that really got me was conservative or liberals in this country and Democrats in this country got very comfortable calling us ignorant and stupid by calling us low information voters. That was their slang word for you're an idiot. And I've come to find that the middle conservative, not just the you know, the right, but the middle conservatives in America are anything but. And at the end of the day, I think it was Brexit. I think Brexit started it. I think the populist movement in this country and this world is on. I think the Trump election followed that. I think you're getting ready to see something with Italy, and they're going to pass a budget that the EU will find them in violation of their rules. But I think we as a people are done with people running our lives that we don't like and we don't trust.
Now, clearly, you know, you were sort of singled out and polarized by one of your former employers at ESPN. And you stated at the time that there's clearly a double standard when it comes to the right and the left. And I've called them out in times, too. I remember, on Pardon the Eruption, Wilbon, on Pardon the Eruption.
Yeah.
Very well-respected guy. Well, we had the video of Ray Rice knocking his wife out. He said, well, we don't know the facts. And we know the facts.
Right.
And, you know, time and time again, I've seen him defend players that have beaten women up, and no one really ever bats an eyelash about it. That's something that always upset me, and now it continues for you. And for the record, Kurt, you know, I think you've gone too far on Twitter at times, but so have I.
Sure.
So have I. So we all have. I think you've got, I'm not saying, I've agreed with everything you do.
Let me be very clear about something. There, you know, one of the things about Twitter is it's only 140 characters, so you can't, it's very hard to get intent or sarcasm across or over. But
yeah.
I recently tweeted something out. It was a man wearing a T-shirt at a Trump rally, and it said, rope, tree, media, some assembly required.
Yeah.
Now, there are people in the media, and just liberals, no conservatives, who for some reason suddenly believed that I was in favor of lynching, as if I had some dark past where lynching was something I approved. It was a mocking a shirt that, like every other shirt that mocks something or other. But that turned into, now there are guys who have said they won't vote for me for the Hall of Fame.
Well, I wanted to ask you about Dan Shaughnessy and that. And one thing, what I thought about that too, and I've seen it. You know, when I was a long time ago on the radio, there was this real pinko commie dude. There was a guy, he used to rip everybody, all right? You know, everyone's a jackass. Frank Robinson's an idiot. I used to be the host of the Expos post-game show. The Jack Todd columnist. It's just typical, just scumbag, rips everyone. I went really hard on him on the radio. He threatened to sue me.
Yeah.
You know, how dare you? How you crossed the line? I will sue you because I told my listeners to turn on him and tell the paper how they think he sucks. So he was threatening to sue me. But
we watched 6 months of a media that blew up at Trump saying really stupid stuff on the bus and ignored WikiLeaks on a daily basis.
I know
showing us that Hillary Clinton was the evil person we thought she was.
So about Dan Shaughnessy.
I don't care about that stuff. And I will tell you this. One of the things that I've grown up, and I think it's the only way I could stay true to myself, and also something that I've told my kids often, which is don't try and live your life and don't say and do things to make people you don't know like you.
So what?
And I don't. And so, you know, that the people that don't like me, the people that say the things they say about me, like the Dan Shaughnessy, are people I wouldn't be friends with anyway.
Are you concerned?
And they don't know me, so
are you concerned, though, Kurt?
I don't get worked up to a large degree about that. But Twitter is a place. I mean, here's the thing: I've been called a racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body. Why have I been called a racist? Because I compared Muslim extremists to Nazis.
You won the Roberto Clemente Award. You won the Roberto Clemente Award.
Right. Yeah, but those things mean so much. Listen, the left. Donald Trump won the election because he was a better candidate, but it also is because the media on the left took Donald Trump literally and not seriously.
No, you're right about that.
The right took him seriously and not literally.
So I wanted to ask you, though, Kurt, you know, clearly we all make choices in our life, and I've done it in my own career as well, in which I'm not a company guy. It doesn't mean I'm not a team player, but you know, I'm going to state what's on my mind, like it or hate it as well. And I'll go to my grave, comfortable in that decision. I left money on the table. Clearly, you don't give an F at this point what anybody thinks. You know, are you concerned that it could potentially cost you a spot in the Hall of Fame if it came to that?
Nope, not even the slightest. And I'll tell you why. I got to know some people, some of the worst scum and human beings I've ever known in my life are sports writers. Bill Conlon, who was a pedophile in Philadelphia, was a sports writer, had a Hall of Fame ballot. And that's not the majority. I get that. That absolutely doesn't represent the wonderful writers that I had so many friends in the media that I got along with and loved. But it's an arbitrary process that I have zero control over. I'm done playing. I haven't struck anybody out or won a game in 8 years. And my vote total changes and fluctuates year to year. I understand human nature is we all have inherent bias. We all have prejudice. And for anyone in the voting to come out and claim 100%, hey, listen, I vote completely. I don't vote with my heart. I believe that's a little disingenuous. But there are people who use the Hall of Fame ballot, and Dan Shaughnessy is one of them, to become part of the news.
Yeah.
Instead of understanding what I believe is it's an immense responsibility, and I think that is one of the reasons why if I don't make the Hall of Fame, nothing in my life changes. I still have my rings, I still have my World Series trophies, and I'll have my memories. They can't take anything that matters to me away.
These guys are talking about character, and I thought the same thing, and I used to sit in a Major League Baseball press box, and first off, these guys are barely watching their own local games, let alone all the other games that are going on in other cities, Kurt. They have no idea. A lot of them are out of touch. Half of them are drunk, et cetera. We go down the list, and then they talk about morality and ethics and stuff. And I'm thinking, how many times have you cheated on your wife? You're driving home drunk from the bar every night. And then here I see you writing columns and on TV criticizing people. But, you know, but they play gone to everyone. No, not you, Pete Rose. Pete Rose is baseball. He knows more about baseball than any of these jackasses. He never threw a game. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. Look at Tim Raines. Look at Tim Raines, Kurt. What did Tim Raines do wrong? I don't know if Tim Raines is good enough. Screw you, he's not good enough. He was
Tim
a dominant
Raines
player.
Should have been a first. Tim Raines should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was the second greatest leadoff hitter of all time. And anybody that disputes that doesn't look at the numbers, number one. But number two, you're right. Here's the thing. I can't worry about people who judge my character who have no accountability or integrity themselves. Why? So I don't.
Kurt Schilling with us. All right, Kurt, in our remaining moments right now, as long as we're on the topic of baseball right now, what was your take at the time when they made home field advantage to the All-Star winner, and now that they're taking it back, what's your take?
I like it. I never got wrapped up. I thought interleague play was a nightmare. It turned out to be, for a period of time, and a huge success. I've been wrong as much as I've been right about things, but I didn't mind the All-Star game being home field advantage because it ended up being something that every time I got there, I was on a team that won, that took advantage of it.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that the challenge with having the team with the better record is they don't play the same schedules. They don't play, they don't play common opponents. The National League Western Division would probably be an easier game to win 100, an easier division to win 100 games on than the American League East. But I don't really care about that stuff because at the end of the year, the team that hoists the trophy is always the best team.
All right, then, Kurt, of course, we are on the Fantasy Sports Network, although we brought it pretty hard there. I enjoyed that conversation. You are an avid fantasy player. There's a new app, actually, out there for fun called FireFan, but you also play DraftKings. You're an avid Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and you're a big hockey fan as well. I got to tell you, I'm picking on your boys this weekend because I think Eli Manning and Odell Beckham are a nice stack on DraftKings, Kurt.
You know what? I would love to refute that, but I can't. Their pass defense has been atrocious. The only way that becomes kind of a bite you in the ass move is if Le'Veon Bell can carry the ball 40 times and they can run, they can run 45 minutes off the clock keeping the ball. I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't know that they're built like that. Defensively, I think it's a great stack. I'll tell you the stack. I'm all about Drew Brees this weekend. I think that game could end up being 66-55.
Yeah.
And I love him in a stack with either, I'm not sure about Ingram. but any of the receivers now that line up there, you just got to kind of pick one. But you can never go wrong with, I think, with Jones, with Beckham, and with Brown. Those guys are going to get, what, 15 targets a week minimum? So, yeah, I mean, that's certainly a good play. I hate to say it's a good play against my Steelers, but it is. I'm more in tune right now. I'm living and breathing. I have three hockey teams on a fantasy website, and I'm in first, second, and third, respectively. And so I'm kind of fired up about my hockey knowledge. And I'm playing DraftKings daily to an obsessive amount. Much like I played baseball, I got addicted to numbers, and I figured out a system that will allow me to make an enormous amount of money from DraftKings. And
were you good at baseball? Were you good at baseball, DraftKings? Because, you know, it's funny. You know, you were one of the greatest players ever, but were you good at actually fantasy baseball?
Yes. Yeah, I kicked baseball DraftKings ass. And I now that I have what I have and know what I know, I think I'll be even better next year. Because fantasy baseball is a sabermetrician's dream, in the sense that, you know, a lot of my hockey that I do, that I work on DraftKings, I don't even have the names of the players next to me. Because when you look at data, I've gone through every single game of the entire NHL hockey season, and I've assessed every line and every power play, and there's a formula that doesn't really rely very much on names. There's just extreme percentage, and so I kind of have an idea of where the sabermetric guys are coming from. Because in fantasy hockey, you really don't have to. It doesn't matter if a guy's a jerk in the clubhouse. It just matters how many points he's going to get you that night.
Yeah, I know. It's Colin Kaepernick's story right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kurt, we got to get out of here, but I'd love to do it again, man. I really enjoyed the conversation. We encourage people to check out Kurt's radio show, Breitbart.com, and check out the website for yourself, guys, all right? I'm not a right-wing Nazi. It's not a hate site, all right? It's just a news site that with news, all right?
It is not. Listen, I can promise you, and I can just promise any of your listeners out there, you can look at any story on that website, any fact on that website, and if you disagree, Google it up, and you'll find that it's true. That's one of the reasons why, like you said, I don't have to work for people I don't like anymore or work with people I don't trust, so I don't.
Kurt Schilling with us. Thanks for the time, Kurt.
Take care, man. Have a great weekend.
There's Kurt Schilling with us. Well, you know, I guess it was worth the wait. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. We go from the controversial and the polarizing Kurt Schilling to the controversial and polarizing Pat Mayo.
Not in the same way, really.
What's going on, Pat?
Nothing. People are just mad at me because my bad takes on sports, not, you know, the rest of reality.
Yeah, welcome to my world. All right, Pat, so congratulations. You got back in the winner's circle.
There's a soccer clap for myself.
Last week, yeah, you know, it's one. So it's like the
it's
the afternoon strip club.
It's a little clap.
It's that sort of.
I thought when Kansas City got up 9-0, I was like, this is over. Was not at all. I had to get bank on an Alex Smith drive at the end of the game, and the exact opposite of what I needed to happen and from the Thursday night or last night happened in that game. I was like, oh, this is going to be perfect. We're going to have Kansas City charge down the field. They're going to get the touchdown, and since they're terrible, they're not going to get the two-point conversion. Easy cover. No problem. No, of course they have to get it, then go to overtime and make me sweat it out on Thursday night. All I need the Vikings to charge down the field here because I had the 37 teased over as well. So let's get this game to a total of 34. You get the touchdown. You get the two-point conversion. Dallas is still going to win the plus four tees, and it's going to hit the over. This is going to be terrific. And then Sam Bradford came along.
It's incredibly frustrating, and that's the worst feeling in the world. It's hard to do as well, because I'm a pretty cold-hearted, bitter, jaded gambler. So, but if you're cheering for a team for 3.5 hours, you're in, like, deep chief mode, right? You're like, come on, come back, come back. It's hard not to sort of get emotionally
invested in it. I have no relationship to the Chiefs.
No,
whatsoever.
But then suddenly you're like, no, I need you to lose and miss this play right now because I don't want it to go to overtime. And trust me, Pat, as someone that's been betting as long as I have, you know how many times I've been screwed like that, especially with basketball. I'm like, dude, I need you to miss this free throw. Don't. Like, I'm plus +5. And they're down, like, they, you know, they can either tie it or lose by one. I'm like, just lose by one. Don't tie it. Although I got really lucky last night with the over, guys, in that NBA game. We gave you the over 230. went to double overtime, Pat.
And then did it take both to get to the over?
No, it took just one overtime, yeah. Okay, so let's jump in. We got to go quickly here. Broncos and Jags. Let's not spend too much time on a Jacksonville Jaguar team that's 1-13 straight up their last 14 games against AFC West opponents. They're riding a six-game losing streak. If there's any good news...
Two-game cover streak.
Yeah, they're not horrible against the spread, but Paxton Lynch, looks like Paxton Lynch will be starting for Denver.
The problem is, I don't know how much worse this line can get. It opened at 5, dropped to 4 very quickly, then it got down to 3.5, and that's when Simeon was still starting, and all the money coming in on Denver. It was the ultimate reverse line movement game. Now you're going to start Paxton Lynch. This isn't going to be a pick-em. Denver's, with that defense, is still going to be favored. So what do? You probably just bet Jacksonville, right?
Yeah. Denver's going to be a 3-point favorite of this football game.
But I don't like 3, though. I wanted the 3.5. I wanted the 4. Could
buy the half a point.
I don't want to buy the half point. I don't want to buy the half point.
You're not half.
I hate buying the half point. I hate it.
I know.
Just give me the better line.
Yeah, some books are real bad, too. You buy a half point. Oh, it's 35 cents.
But the 3.5, I think Denver wins this by 3, so I like the 3.5.
Yeah, Denver's defense, 35 sacks. It should be able to get the Bortles. And let me repeat what I repeat every week. Nate Hackett is the offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Nate Hackett's freaking terrible.
You have been going on with Nate Hackett for like 4 years.
He sucks. Like, how does he have a job in the NFL? 49ers and Bears, speaking of sucking, we've got a 2-9 team hosting a 1-10 team.
Down to a pick'em. It's a pick'em.
Well, it should be a pick'em. Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley, only $5,000 on DraftKings, actually.
He threw the ball 54 times last week, and his receivers dropped 10 passes.
Okay, Bears gave up 24 points per game. San Francisco 49ers, Pat, have given up 30 or more,
8-11 in the game. We talked about this earlier this week.
40 or more points, 3 times they've given up. Got to go with the over.
43.5, watch it be like 10-9 in some scumbag game.
For sure.
But the way that I look at this is bad defenses on both sides of the ball. I mean, listen, the Niners only have one win. Like, it's not that Chicago is good. They're capable. I mean, it's a pick 'em game.
These teams would be better off losing for draft
purposes.
Yeah,
but that's not going to happen.
I know.
Barkley's going to come in.
No, San Francisco want this. Like, this is the one they think they can get this.
I like Chicago in this game. Give me the home team with the defense that's played better at home against a team that has no defense.
Jordan Howard's going to run for like 140 yards.
You know what? Everyone's been saying that this week, but San Francisco has shored up their run defense the last 2 weeks. They held David Johnson in check. They held Jay Ajayi in check. Everyone just passed all over them instead, and that was just the way to go about it. So, yeah, I think that Jordan Howard's a very capable fantasy play, but don't be surprised if he ends up with, like, 14 carries for 86 yards, and that's it. And they just go bonkers through the air.
Washington Redskins are at the Arizona Cardinals. Tricky game.
Oh, no. This is not a tricky
game. I don't know why the Cardinals are favored.
No, exactly. Push all in on the Skins and just be happy with it.
The Redskins 5-1 against the spread as underdogs this year. And
Why is Arizona a favorite in this game? Because they were good last year? Is that it?
I jumped off the Arizona bandwagon a long time ago, Pat.
Yeah, we were both hitting Atlanta last week. Hit Atlanta again this week.
Yeah, the Washington Redskins, a lot of teams struggle post-Thanksgiving day. We saw Dallas didn't get the cover in their post-Thanksgiving day game.
You could spin that the other way and say Minnesota did.
But Washington actually 21-7-3 against the spread post-Thanksgiving day games when listed as an underdog. Arizona are spent right now. It's the end of the line. They're imploding.
They don't care.
Yeah, it's not last year. And, you know, you got Cincinnati, Carolina, Arizona. They're not good teams. It's not like...
Yeah, they're not good this year.
Okay, so we got 1 minute. It's time for the Super Lock. Hit the music. Super Lock of the week.
Hey!
You know who's not good?
The Miami Dolphins. You know who the Miami Dolphins beat? Real crappy teams. You know who they're not playing this week? A real crappy team. Baltimore, number one in defensive DVOA, the best run defense in the league. The seventh best pass defense in the league. What do the Miami Dolphins not have? Oh, well, Pouncey's not playing. And when Pouncey's not playing, they can't do anything offensively. Devontae Parker, probably not going to play in this game at all. The Ravens suck at offense. I understand that. They had the best kicker in football, and field goals might be enough to not only win this game, but get the cover. Right now, you can get it at 3. Some places have it 3.5. I locked it in at 3 because I saw that line. I was like, sign me up. I'm going to push on this one. So even if you want to get real sneaky this week, the Baltimore-Washington, you know, parlay those two together with the over in that game of San Francisco-Chicago, hey, that pays like 6-1.
Very confident picking on a team riding a six-game win streak.
Who are they beating? Nobody.
I like a team, another team that's riding a six-game win streak. Take the 6 with the New York Giants at Pittsburgh. We'll come back with our plays of the day. All right, it's time for our Millionaire Maker DraftKings lineup of the week. I spent a couple hours on this one. I was up into the late night hours perplexing myself over these selections. And there was a lot of guys I liked this week at the quarterback position. Obviously, Drew Brees. I like Tyrod Taylor, actually, this week as a cheap play at Oakland. But ultimately, I went with Eli Manning. He's just too cheap at $5,900, man. Guy's got 12 touchdown passes in the last four games. Steelers are ranked 23rd against the pass. I think this game's going to be a track meet. Jordan Howard, a little bit expensive right now, but Matt Barkley's at the quarterback position. I expect Howard to get a ton of touches in this football game. 49ers are the worst run defense in the National Football League, giving up 171.8 yards per game. Le'Veon Bell, for whom the bell tolls. $9,200, little explanation needed, but dude's had no less than 27 touches per game over the last three games. To me, this Steelers-Giants game, it really has one of those just classic 38-35 Manning and Roethlisberger are just trading touchdowns all day long. All right, this guy's a jerk, but he's putting up pretty good fantasy numbers. And Tyreek Hill, torch Denver. He should light up the Falcons as well. Falcons giving up 380 yards a game overall. Kansas City's going to score. I think it's going to be points put up on the board of this football game. We're going to go with my boy, man, Taylor Gabriel. I like Gabriel. I was a fan of his in Cleveland. I don't know why Cleveland let him go, but he's come alive. Four touchdowns his last four games. He averages 18 yards a freaking catch. And now we got another big name here, man. This is a great lineup. Odell Beckham Jr. stacking him with Eli Manning. Pittsburgh's defense gives up to 263 yards per game in the air. Beckham, five touchdowns his last four games. Game is going to be a track meet. I'm expecting Beckham to have two touchdowns in this game. All right, Vance McDonald. All right, Vance McDonald. Yeah, he's only $2,900. 14 catches, two touchdowns in the last four games. Getting targeted about six to eight times a football game. Kaepernick doesn't have anybody to throw the football to. And that San Francisco-Chicago game is going to be a track meet. Tyler Eifert. I hate associating myself with anything with the Bengals. Dalton has nobody to throw the freaking ball to, all right? Boyd's not good enough. Eifert's the guy. He's going to be targeted double-digit times. Eifert's going to get into the end zone. Miami Dolphins will be our defense. They got 10 interceptions and 25 sacks on the season. Flacco's thrown six interceptions in the Ravens' last five games. All right, let's get to our plays of the day here. MAC Conference Championship, Western Michigan, minus 17. We're going to lay it. I don't love the over, but I think it's going to creep just over the number. The Washington Huskies, they're going to pump Colorado. Colorado's 10-2 ATS run's going to come to an end here. Washington are going to put their stamp on a playoff spot. Washington covers, and the game goes over the number. I'm getting tired of losing money betting on the New York Knicks, but I'm going to take the Knicks one last time. If they don't win tonight, screw them, and we wrap it up.